That is from 1 Peter chapter 4, from verse 8 to 11. I will read it in the King James Version, as he read it in another version. It says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good steward of the manifold grace of God. Last verse, if any man speak, let him speak as an article of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise, dominion, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
I will be ministering from this section of the reading to us, and I trust that the Lord will bless us as we concentrate on Him together. The topic that I'm going to use today is, what is your gift? It's in form of a question. What is your gift? The word tells us here that in verse 8, that above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. One of the things that we discover from what the apostle is saying, and I would like us to remember here, I'd like the church to remember this, that the apostle Peter, he was with Jesus. He lived with Jesus. He moved from town to town with Jesus. He interacted with Jesus. He understand very well the lifestyle of Jesus. And he was in the company with other disciples. And he know and feel the atmosphere that exists while he was there with Jesus. And all of this, despite the revelation that he received, because the revelation is an addition to the physical experience that he had. With all of that, the apostle pen these lines to the church. And he informed the church that the church should operate in an atmosphere of love, where the gifts of God can flourish and can be experienced and can work towards glorifying God. This is the bottom line of Peter's presentation, that the church would operate in an atmosphere of love, an atmosphere where there is freedom among the believers, freedom of expression,
amen,
freedom of thought, freedom in terms of dealing with one another as close brother, as close sister, because we are one in the Lord. The oneness that he is promoting here is very important for the church. I'm glad this morning that we are here in this service. Because our purpose here might be bigger than what you and I think. We have come together to meet with the Lord. And it is in an atmosphere where love supposed to dominate our operation. As the Apostle Paul, as the Apostle Peter points out to us here. And then he went on to say in verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. He continued to double down on the same thing that he actually said in verse 8. And he went on to verse 10 to say, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Amen? One to another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We'll get into verse 11 later on. The apostle is driving a togetherness in the church. And we are not confining this now to the apostolic church in America. But we are speaking about the church in general. This is the bedrock principle under which the church should operate. It's supposed to operate in an atmosphere of love. And so I ask us the question again. What is your gift? What is your gift? Secondly, when we say what is your gift, we are not talking about the gift of salvation, because it is a common gift. The gift of salvation is a common gift. Every child of God receive salvation. And you have not, we have not received salvation in degrees. In other words, one person does not receive more salvation than the other person. All of us have received a full and free salvation. Total salvation. Whatever ingredient goes into it in terms of grace, forgiveness, mercy, and whatever. All of us have received it fully. We either have salvation or we don't. So we're not talking about salvation here when we're talking about what gift do you receive. Because salvation is a common gift among all brethren, regardless of where we are. But salvation qualifies us. It qualifies us as recipients from God in terms of receiving gifts from Him. And that's why we're asking the question, what is your gift? The gift that we have, whatever that gift is, is supposed to be used among the brethren in order to foster relationship, to foster growth, and to create an environment in which the church flourishes, regardless of what that gift is. That is what Peter is saying to us here. That is Peter's mind. He is speaking speaking about something that is vital to the church.
Amen.
Now there are three clusters of gifts the Bible speaks of. One cluster is to be found in Romans. Romans chapter 12, from verse 6 to verse 8. The other is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 to 11. And the third one is Ephesians 4, 7 to 12. And all of these gifts together amount to anything from 18 to 19. But there are, what we discover, that there are gifts that everybody are aware of. And they are up there on the shelves for everybody to see. And those are the gifts, for the most part, in which people seem to dwell. They are all displayed up there on the shelves. Talking about the gift of apostleship, the gift of the prophet, the gift of the evangelist, the gift of the pastor, the gift of the teacher. All of these gifts are up there in full display. You're talking about the gift of healing, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of tongues. All the gift of faith, they are all on the shelf in full display. And these are gifts that everybody seems to look at and say, yes, these are the gifts of God. But I hasten to say to the church this morning that there are other gifts that we don't seem to put the focus on that we should, and they are equally important. Now we are told that there are different types of gifts. According to Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12 verse 6, listen to what it says here. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. It means that there are different types of gifts. The gift that you receive is not necessarily the gift that somebody else received. But be sure that you have received a gift based on what Peter is saying here. Listen to what Peter said again in verse 10, as we read earlier. As every man hath received the gift. That is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Line 1. It said, as every man hath received the gift, every man, every person who have been born again have received a gift. So the question is, what is your gift? We are told here in Romans that gift differs. Gift differs. And it is important that we understand that, because the giver of gifts gives according to 1 Corinthians 12. Give different gifts
to individual as it please him and place that person in the body to function. Different gifts are given by the same Spirit to different individuals as the Spirit sees fit for this individual or that individual to be in possession of this particular gift, so that the body of Christ will be served. And God, I'm glad here for the way in which God has structured the church. He has structured the church so that we become supportive of one another. Amen, somebody. In another place, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. Listen to what the apostle said here. 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 26. And this is a pattern as to what I am thinking about today. How is it then, brethren? Verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when they come together, like in a service like this, we're talking now, coming together, meaning like in this type of setting, or any organized meeting in the church. It says, how is it then, brethren, when they come together, every one of you have a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation, let all things done unto edifying. So you see what we're saying here, the combinations of gifts, the combination of what you have received, what we have received from God into one service brings honor and glory to Him. Hallelujah. That's where we are going. Your gift might not necessarily be mine, because the Word has just said to us that we all receive different gifts. And sometimes we look on the gifts on the shelf, on the shelves, and we say to ourselves, I wish I had that gift. I wish I had that gift. Looking on those on the shelves. And of course, nothing is wrong with that thought. But we need to remember that the giver of gifts gave us our gift. The giver of gifts gave us the gift that pleased him and suit us. So staying with Romans chapter 12 as we read here. Verse 6 again, I go back to it. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Verse 7, our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Verse 8, or he that exhorted on exhortation, it means that we are to continue to wait upon our ministry. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that treateth mercy with cheerfulness. We are going to take two of these gifts there in Romans chapter 12, and then we will take another gift from another place as we look on three gifts that are equally important, but not the gifts that are looking at us every day from the shelves. But at the same time, valuable to the body of Christ, as Peter declares that this gift should operate in an atmosphere of love as the body serves itself. So let's look on the gift of mercy. First one we're going to look on today is the gift of mercy. And I choose it first over the other one, even though the other one came first. Romans chapter 12, verse 8. I read it again, where these two gifts, these two first gifts came from. I read it again, Romans chapter 12, verse 8. Are ye that exhorted? The gift of exhortation is a popular gift. It is one of those gifts that are on the shelf, because it is up there for everybody to see, everybody are aware of this gift. Exhortation. Or he that exhort on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, another gift that is important, governmental gift here. He that ruleth. The word is telling us up. With diligence, rule with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. The gift of mercy. While we talk about mercy over and again, to view it in the light of a gift is a different subject. God has given this gift in the church, the gift of mercy, which is not so much one of those gifts that you see on the shelf looking at you every day, but it is important to the body of Christ as God has given it to the church. The gift of mercy. One of the definitions for mercy is the desire to show compassion and forgiveness. Mercy expresses itself in the sense that what somebody else deserves in terms of what should be done as a result of an action, the gift of mercy overlooks the punishment for a greater good. And so the word is telling us that mercy is a gift from God. Brethren, I want to say to all of us here in this service today that Peter was correct in saying that love needs to be the thing or the atmosphere in which any gift that we receive from the Lord, we will function properly with those gifts in the atmosphere of love. Love is the foundation. revelation here when we read from verse 8 to verse 11. And within that atmosphere of love, the gifts function freely and much better. So I ask you, what type of gift do you have? Maybe it is possible that you have your gift and you are not fully aware of the gift that you have. It is possible.
Put behind the microwave on the window.
It is possible that you have a gift, and in fact, you are using your gift, and you are not sure that you're using your gift in the church. I tell you what, Moses, according to Exodus 4, I think verse 2, Moses asked the Lord, what shall I say to the people? They will not believe me. They will not accept me. That was his concern. When God told him that he should go and represent his people and lead them out of bondage. Not that he was so much reluctant, but he was thinking that the people, based on past experience, might not actually accept him. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? No, as far as Moses is concerned, he had this stick in his hand because he was a shepherd. He uses a stick to control his sheep. And he sometimes uses it to bear up himself as he walk along. And as far as he know, it was only a piece of stick. So the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? He was using his stick all along. But the Lord is now going to show him something that he is using, and he did not know the true value of it. So the Lord said, throw a cast that rod down. Throw the piece of stick on the ground. He followed the instruction of the Lord. Immediately, the stick became a serpent, sizzling its way around. And the Lord said unto him, catch it by the tail. And as he pulled it by the tail, the serpent became a rod again in his hand. All this time, he had a gift in his hand, and he did not know to the extent of the value of what he was carrying around. And you and I know very well, beyond here, how much time that rod was used, symbolizing the power of God. Some of us in this very meeting right now, there is something that you have. There is something about your personality. There is something about what you have. There is something about your voice, your communicating skill. Something about somebody in this company that you are not fully aware of, which God has the ability to use to bring honor and glory to himself and to elevate your brother and your sister in the ministry. Something is there that we have not yet tapped into, that God has given to us. As Peter said, every one of us receive a gift. So the question keep coming back to us, what is your gift? The gift of mercy is one of those gifts that we have not fully tapped into. We have not actually recognized the power of this gift among the brethren. Jesus said in his teaching in St. Matthew chapter 5, I think verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In other words, mercy is something that is designed for the believer that they should give. Oh my God, if the entire company of believers could find ourselves giving mercy every day, what a wonderful thing that would be for the body of Christ. Expressing the gift of mercy among ourselves. Two of the ways in which this manifests itself is in the area of forgiveness. In the area of forgiveness. I wrong you in my action. I wrong you in my words. I wrong you in my attitude. I wrong you. I hurt you. But you expressing the gift of mercy, forgive me. Hallelujah. As a brother in the church, as a sister in the church, you express the gift of mercy and you are forgive me. Peter said in verse 9 that we look at what Peter said here again. This is so important. He said in verse 8, above all things, fervent charity. Passionate, that means passionate love. Passionate love. Intense love. Hot love. Hot love towards our brother. Hot love towards our sister. Is an atmosphere that he was creating. That the gift that God has given unto us will flourish. And then he went on to say in verse 9, use hospitality one to another. In fact, before we finish verse 8, he said, for charity covers the multitude of sin. Have you seen that here? Exhibiting love. It covers a multitude of sin in the church, among the believers. Because you overlook my fault and you saw my need as a brother. Mercy is the driver of that. I have mercy upon him. I have mercy upon her as I express the gift of mercy. Another era in which mercy is manifested and flourishes is in prayer. It's in prayer. Talking to God. Asking God to bless my brother. Asking God to bless my sister. Asking God to show compassion on the body of Christ as we exercise the gift of mercy. Jesus said, if you give mercy, you will receive mercy. The gift of mercy is not one of the everyday gifts that we are hearing about. But it is vital. Considering what Peter said here, to the functioning of the body of Christ. And sometimes, we might not express it the way in which we should. But I trust that our mind is being opened to behold the structure of the church, how God has arranged it, so that we will apply ourselves accordingly. The other gifts that are not up there on the shelf on an everyday operation is the gift of giving. It is to be found again in Romans. Romans chapter 12. And I read verse 8 again. I go back to verse 8. Or he that exhorteth an exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. I deliberately use mercy first here, because mercy came last in the verse, over giving. Because mercy and love are setting a foundation where giving can flourish. So the gift of giving is another gift that is not necessarily up here, along with apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, the gift of healing, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge. It is not up there in that form, even though it is a gift by God designed to help the body. So the gift of giving is equally important. And I'm not saying that all that is in the church is a gift of mercy and a gift of giving. I am saying to us that there are many gifts, different gifts, that are given to the body of Christ for the functioning, the everyday functioning of the work. And some of them are not listed at all in the Bible. But God has blessed you in a particular way where it is supportive of the body. And I am saying to all of us here, please let us not neglect our gift. Because we can neglect our gift. We can ignore our gift. And therefore, it shortcuts it creates a problem in the body. Because where your gift should come in and function, it is missing. As far as the setting of the body is concerned. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4:14, and said that he should not neglect the gift that is in him. But you might not necessarily have the gift that what Paul was talking about in regards to Timothy there. But there are gifts that God has given to the church, of which you have, that might not be used in the way in which it was intended. And some might say, look, I can't preach like Pastor Fiani, so I am not even going to try to do a word of exhortation. God did not give you the ministering ability as Pastor Fiani, but God has given you something to work in the body. When you come together with the Psalms, as we said earlier, my God, God expects you to use that psalm in the service to glorify him. and to edify the body and to support the body. You might not be able to give 2 hours worth of preaching like Pastor Fiani. But a 5-minute exhortation in the body that strengthens somebody, because the word that God gives you, it is a word for somebody. Come on, church. It is a word for somebody. Because God knows your heart. God knows the heart of somebody else. God wants to communicate something to that person. And God chose you to do it. You might not. You look up there and you see different gifts. And you said, you wish you could sing like Brother Bailey. And yes, admire Brother Bailey singing. Try to sing like Brother Bailey. And nothing is wrong with that. But my God, whatever God gives you to serve in the body, use it to his honor and to his glory. Every one of us have received a gift. And as I said in the outset, you might not necessarily know the dynamite that you have, like in the case of Moses. But God has given you it to serve in the body. I believe the time has come when we need to start to search ourselves for that gift. And not only that, but prayerfully. We need to pray to God that he will reveal to us our gift. And some of you have many gifts, not just one gift. Some of you have many gifts. God has blessed you in different ways where you serve the body. Not just one gift. God is not confining all of us to one gift. Yeah, some of us who have many gifts to be used in the body. But don't say, because I did not receive the flashing gift on the shelf like somebody, I am not. Don't neglect your gift. Don't ignore your gift. Regardless of what it is God who has blessed you in the body with your particular gift to serve the church. Based on what Peter is saying here. And before I finish up on giving, another thing we need to bear in mind is that according to this letter that Peter is writing, verse 1 in chapter 1, verse 1, tells us that this letter was going out to 5 small churches. 5 small churches, not the mega church in Jerusalem or Ephesus. 5 small churches. I agree that the principle remains the same for those churches. But these small, 5 small churches, like maybe churches that we know, are churches that needs to be reminded of what it is that will create growth among them so that God will ultimately be glorified. And it's interesting to know that some of these churches were formed by those who came from their area to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached and 3,000 people got saved. They went home back to their villages and they established churches. And Peter is now writing to those churches, informing them about what it is to live as brethren in the presence of the Lord. Read, all of them are in the first verse, in the first chapter of 1 Peter. And so on the gift of giving, it is not only monetary. It is not only monetary, but giving up your time. Giving up your time, giving up your energy, giving up your creative ability to the church so that the church can function and glorify God. Amen. Don't hold back on this gift. God has given it to you to use effectively in the body. But in terms of monetary, it is important that we acknowledge that God has also placed you in the ministry, that you would contribute financially to the running of the church and the support of the brethren. Whatever it is that you can contribute, God is saying you have received the gift of mercy, the gift of giving. Use that gift to glorify Him in giving to the people. And for different reasons, from time to time, people do hold back on this. Maybe sometimes they don't really understand what God is saying. Maybe they don't understand how God is operating. But whatever it is that God has blessed you with, God has blessed you with it, that you will use it to glorify Him. Amen, church. Let us do that so that He be glorified. So that He be glorified. Listen to what St. Luke chapter 7, St. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 said, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." That is what is said there. That is what the Lord is saying there. That needs to be done. Don't hold back in your giving to the Lord. Don't neglect this gift. Don't ignore the contribution that you can make to the church, which the Lord is asking us to do. I have seen over and again where God has used even members from this church. And I am not going to embarrass nobody, but you know yourselves. You have followed the leading of the Lord. And you have made special gifts and donation to this work, for which I want to stay right here and commend you and say God bless you. You have been following without sometimes maybe not knowing the voice of the Lord. I want to bring that out clear to you today, that it is not so much you, but it is God working in you through the gift of giving. And my thought to you, my word to you today, continue to follow the lead of the Lord and do as He asks you to do. Giving without grudging. Giving without holding back. Giving without saying the Lord don't need money. But understand that you are operating in an atmosphere of love with the brethren. And as a result of love, as a result of mercy, giving becomes very important because you are supporting the brethren in the church. In the early church, if you read Acts 4, you're going to discover what happened there. A whole lot of people were getting saved. at 1,300, another point 5,000. Plus, the Lord is adding daily to the church, such as to be saved. People were getting saved right, left, and center. How were they maintained? By the giving of the brethren. By the giving of the brethren. Everyone needs were met. In fact, the Bible put it this way, they had all things common. The Bible is declaring to us that the brethren is depending on your hearer of contribution. So that God be glorified. The gift of giving. The gift of giving. Don't neglect this gift. Because God has placed it in you for a purpose that you will give and support the brethren. The final gift that is not so much up there on the shelf is to be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. No, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 24, 28, I beg your pardon. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. I read it. And God had set some in the church. First, apostle. These are the gifts that are on the shelves. First, apostle. Secondary prophet. Third, teacher. After that, miracle. Then gifts of healing. And the next word that we see there is help. The gift of help. Government. Diversity of tongues. All of these gifts are clustered right here. But in the interest of the study today, I want to single out the one among all of these gifts here that are not screaming at us from the shelf every day. And that is the gift of help. The gift of helps declare the word. What does it mean here? The gifts of help. Somebody might say, look, I want the gift of wisdom. I want the gift of healing. I want the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. And I said, I want the gift of prophecy, and nothing is wrong with that. But if God has given you and me the gift of help, it is a gift that is supposed to be used in the church among the body of Christ. As Peter declares round here, the bedrock is love. Love flourishing among the brethren caused all of these gifts to function properly and easily to glorify God. Are you and I operating in an atmosphere of love? If we do, if we are, then help, the gift of help, becomes easy to operate. Ask my brother, is everything going well with you? Ask my sister, can I help you? Ask anybody in the church, how can I do something that will make your life better? Ask. Don't wait until somebody asks us, but we initiate the move. The gift of help is vital in the church because there are different areas in which we can lend a hand. Different areas in the body that we can lend a hand to glorify Jesus. And the gift of help, it works in every department. Every department. Whether it is Sunday school, the young people's department, the women's department, the men's department, the general church, the gifts of help can be used and seen functioning in all these areas. It's just a matter of making myself available to the body to be used. Hallelujah. 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 Verse 10 again said, every man hath received the gift that is first Peter 4, verse 10. Every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one, according as good stewards to the manifold grace of God. The grace of God has manifested itself in so many different ways. And in all of these ways in which the grace is manifested, the gifts are necessary. In fact, when we think about what the proverb said, what the writer to the proverb said, your gift make room for you. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16. He said, your gift make room for you. And not only that it makes room for you, but it presents you before great men. One person came to mind when we think about that is Joseph. As you remember in Genesis 41, Joseph was caught in prison. And one of his fellow prisoners told Pharaoh, when Pharaoh had a dream and could not interpret it, now, any one of his men was able to interpret it. The brother said to Pharaoh, I remember a young man in prison who has the ability to interpret dreams. Pharaoh said, send for him. Pharaoh sent for him, he came, and Pharaoh said to him, I heard you can interpret dreams. And Joseph said, it is not me, but it is God. And therefore, he told him a dream. And Joseph lays in prison to the palace. Hallelujah. Interpret the dream for Pharaoh perfectly that he got it. And the Lord will have him. And Pharaoh promoted the prisoner to the palace and make him second in line in terms of authority. Your gift make room for you and present you before great men. God see your ability to do something, and God will use that ability to promote you in the service of him. I don't know what gift you have. I don't know what gift you have that you don't know you have. But let's pray to God that he will reveal it, so that we will know and act upon us our gifts. I just mentioned three, but there are a wide range of gifts that God has given. In fact, the Bible said every man receives this gift. Every man receives a gift. And we're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about something to operate in the body of Christ for its day-to-day functioning. And finally, here. Finally here, you might have a gift, and you sense that God has given you this, but you are timid. You are timid, church. Ask any one of us if we weren't timid in serving God at first. Ask any one of us. Timidity is something that affects us right throughout our lives in different quarters. But receive and you're afraid to even express that gift. You have the unction that God has given you this gift. God has given you something for the body of Christ, but you're timid. Listen to how Paul addressed Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 Timothy chapter 1. Listen to 6 and 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 6 and 7. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in you, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Paul realized that the young man was a timid man. Timothy was timid. Timothy had great fears of his own ability, especially when he looked in the church and see that Paul was not there with him at Ephesus. And there were those who determined that Judaism should be the doctrine of the day. And he is now embracing faith in God alone for salvation. He was timid to push that doctrine. Paul said, stir up the gift. Because God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love. Of love. Here we go again. The word love. Use love and let your gift flourish. And I like what the word Paul used. Stir up the gift. It is down there. I don't know if you... I could not consider myself a good cook in any stretch of imagination. Especially when I see how well Sister Russell prepares soup. But sometimes you are preparing a one-pot meal, which is soup. And you look in the pot and you find out on top you said, "Why the soup looks so long. I wonder if it is going to taste good." But somebody said, grab a spoon. And when you use that spoon and stir the pot. You see, the goodies are in the pot. What it requires is stirring. Come on, church. After you stir up the pot, you find that the soup starts to take on body. And it now starts to look attractive. You are not only eating now with your taste, but you are eating with your eyes. Hallelujah. 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 You are eating with your eyes because of how good this thing looks. Paul said, Peter, strong arm. Timothy, stir up the pot, because deep down here is something that is valuable, to the body of Christ. Another interpretation said, fan the fire. There is a live coal at the bottom of the ash. The ash needs to be blown away, so that the coal will catch fire again. And in the Apostolic Church in America, I am saying to all of us here, there is something that we have down there that needs to be stirred up. Let's get to work and stir up the gift that God be glorified. Come to verse 11. That God be glorified. glorified. Listen to what it said in verse 11, and I'm closing. If any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability which God giveth him, which God has given. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise, dominion forever and ever. So let's throw those gifts now on the shelves in the mix. Let's throw all the gifts together now. Whether it is gifts that are up there on the shelf, jumping out of at us, or gifts that are on the counter asking for attention. Let us group all of them together. The reason why God has given them to the church is that ultimately he be glorified. I'm saying to all of us, let us do it so that Jesus be glorified. You have a gift. I have a gift. The other person has a gift. And we might not necessarily know the gift or know the extent to the gift that we receive. But let us pray that God will reveal that gift to us so that we can use it to glorify him. Let us not neglect it. Let us not neglect it, because your brother and your sister is depending on it. The Lord bless you. Father, we just bless your name now and thank you that you have structured the church in such a way where we are supporters one to another. In every area, that's why you have given diverse gifts. Because you thought about every area of need in the church. Help us not to withhold or neglect our gift, which is beneficial to the other brother or the other sister. But let us use them to glorify you. Father, I worship you for the wisdom that you have displayed. I thank you for the writing of Peter to the church so that we can have it today to minister even in the Apostolic Church of America so that we can edify one another and become better stewards for you in the ministry as we glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for every person online today. Thank you for this men's Sunday. God, if there is any gift that is not totally revealed to any one of the men here with us, I pray that it will be revealed so that it will be made known and used to edify the body. I give you praise and I give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.